right, here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Scenario Podcast. We've been having back and forth technical situations, but
I don't want to say the same stuff that I started the last two takes off with.
Why not?
I mean, now it feels like I scripted it, and I never know what I'm going to say on this thing until it comes up.
What's been going on, man?
It's been one of the most entertaining weeks in a long time.
Very entertaining, very entertaining, to say the least, as they say.
It's you know what I'm saying? We got to get, you know, up close and personal, the true life stories of Bobby Brown from Bobby Brown, and just the entire experience that four-sixths of New Edition concert was.
We'll dive
as far into that as you possibly can. Yeah, man, it's been a good time. Like, the news has been specifically generous this week.
Oh. Just some beauties, man.
Of all the particular times that it could decide to just not give you a ton of stuff, but to give you the right things,
This is right. This is right in the pocket.
So the bracket's moving along. You know what I'm saying?
People getting upset.
NFL season is underway. For those people are in or they're out, at least it gives people something to argue with each other about.
Right.
NBA getting closer. The election's getting closer. It's just a great time for animosity, hilarious animosities.
Great time
people.
To be alive, as they say.
But yeah, man. So what's good? What we got? We got emails this week.
Yeah, we got some emails, man. Let's go and jump into this. First email. This one is coming from Andrea. She says, "I can't help but love you all's podcast. It's funny and informative, and I like to hear brothers talk about different things from different perspectives and the way that they look at life. Have you all thought about going the route of Desus and Mero and how they construct themselves going from a podcast to a full-scale TV show? It'd be interesting to see you all in a full-scale situation where you all are on TV, because when I saw how you all are interacting on you all's live show, it was a different look than I felt when I get from the podcast. I actually got to see more of the mannerisms and things that you all do. Just a few suggestions, but love you all. Peace."
Yeah, that's awesome. Appreciate it. Shout out.
Yeah, shout out to you, man. It's coming.
There's a lot of, like, so, like, being, like, 100% honest, like, we always try to do here, like, there's a lot of things that are, like, in the pipelines that are, like, it's just about making sure that when it happens the right way.
Yep.
Because, you know what I'm saying, when you go to that next, when you try to make that play, like, yo, shout out to Desus and Mero. Like, they did it. Like, they did it, and they still got a long way to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the thing to always to appreciate is the fact that you've really got, like, two completely, not completely different, but just two, you know, different creative sects to bring the show together. Like, there's a lot of things that, you know, both of us look at that go into what we think the next level of the product could be. So it's about bringing all those things together. But when you do that, you know what I'm saying, you got to come correct. Especially in today's day and age in the market. I mean, you got to come correct.
Because people hate you at the beginning, so you might as well alleviate the subsidiary things that they hate about, like, oh, well, y'all set look horrible and, you know, dumb shit like that.
Like, it can. It's all right. It's good.
We meant to have a homeless man.
I don't want to look like I work for Entertainment Tonight right out the gate. That you don't give yourself much room.
I never wanted to look like Entertainment Tonight. Like, never. I never want you to be like, we're going to live in location to Malibu, California.
I'm
going to
have
where,
that.
Joan Rivers is on.
I would like to, like, throw segments to other people. Like,
oh, no.
Like,
yes.
Have Javon standing somewhere talking to people on the street.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, something like that. But I don't want them to be like, well, we're going to the Dog and Pony Show at Churchill Residence when Meadows.
Thank you, Daryl. Today's been just a wonderful, wonderful day at Churchill Meadows. You know, there's just a phenomenal crop of poodles here getting ready for this evening's race. I don't know about you, but Buttercup feels like it's going to continue its run of trotting around the yard better than anybody else.
Question for you out there, man.
Yeah,
is that
yes.
Vigilant Doberman Pinscher Dante there? He caused a lot of disarray with his owner last go around.
Yes, his owner D-Ray really, really, really spiced things up this year. I don't know what we're
going to
do.
He got in a fight with that pit bull with a woman named Patricia that had that pit bull.
The owners were really upset when he sat down during the playing of the national anthem. We knew what to expect. But he sat down, and rumor has it that he actually took a shit in the middle of the national anthem. See, so like, no, we can't. Yeah. Like, we gotta be us, and this is about bringing it the right way. But yo, appreciate you peeping out the live show. There are a few more of those that are coming up real, real soon, and they're gonna be a completely different thing than even the last one. Mm-hmm. So yo, definitely keep checking those out.
It was hot as hell with them lights for some reason.
Oh, well, it was also hot as hell because we was destroying drinks out of the train out
there. That's true. Too. That's something we have to start pacing ourselves early. Yeah. Like, maybe we start drinking during the show. Maybe we do it like we do now, where we drink during the show instead of before the show. Because that one we drank before the show and drank during the show.
The goal is to, like, the drunkest show we ever did was one with Van.
That was 3.5 hours.
Yes.
That it had to be split in 2 episodes.
It was like The Godfather 2.
It's like it stopped. That shit just kept going.
It stopped in the middle because you got to put a second tape in.
The first was like that too.
Yeah.
The first one you got had two tapes too.
That's true. But this stuff coming. Appreciate the encouragement. Keep the love coming. We definitely appreciate that. And that's I think y'all will be excited for what we got up the pipe.
All right. Let's go and jump in our topics, man. Brackets. Well,
first, before we do.
Yeah, brackets, man.
Yo, it's that time.
The final four.
Shout out to everybody that's been chiming in on the brackets. Listen, I understand and I know we're not asking you to do a simple thing here. You know, it's gone from, you know, picking between your favorite shows to then picking your favorite cousin. And now you done picked your favorite sibling. And now you about to pick your favorite parent.
Kid, or your favorite kid, then
kid,
parent.
Kid would be the last round. I don't know. You got kids.
It's parent. I think go kid, then parent. Because I'm saying,
I don't know. I mean, you're responsible for your kid.
Yeah, I'm not responsible for my parents no more. I really don't. I wouldn't want to be either, you know, on a higher scale. That's just me. But
I mean,
case around.
Your kid's your fault. One way or the other.
In a lot of ways. Yeah. Shout out to Team Leave It In.
I have signed a multi-year contract with Team Leave It Out. It's nearly a lifetime pack so far. There's Team Leave It Half In, and that was a scary weekend. But we got through there, and we came out on the other side stronger than ever, unified.
Understanding my body a little bit better and when I'm skeeting and when I'm not. You know.
Yeah.
But bracket time, man. So what we down to, man?
Hey, man. So I got a question for you, though. Like, my bracket is looking kind of crazy, though. Because on my bracket, it had a different world beating the Cosby Show.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I don't think that actually could have happened in real life.
The Cosby effect, the fact they have a suspended player, I think it just got to them the farther they got along in this tournament. So, it's like having to do
like
this is Kenyon Martin on the Cincinnati when he tore up his knee.
Yeah,
but they was still a decent team enough to get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, okay,
Elite Eight.
It's Duke then, without Kyrie Irving.
There you go, and they got to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and Kyrie came back and he wasn't quite right.
Nope.
Yo, this was a shocker, man.
I'm not shocked because a lot of younger people our age fuck with Different World.
All right, so then tell me in your opinion then the appeal of what could make a Different World. Because to me, this is an upset. I mean, it's a 2-1, mm-hmm. but this is the number one overall seed in the entire tournament.
The reason why Different World is so endearing is there's been a million different black shows that have been positive black families after the Cosby Show to supplement that where it doesn't feel as good maybe. You ain't had no other show that had a black cast about black college experience yet again. We got Blackish. You had Family Matters. You had Fresh Prince. I'm saying other shows. You saw black prominent people doing regular shit. You know what I'm saying? But you don't have. You had other those that followed the blueprint of Bill Cosby.
Here's my thing: is when you think about the greatest shows in TV history, do you think about A Different World before the Cosby Show?
Yes.
Because
they said the college black college enrollment period across, but not just with black colleges. Period went up like 40%. Because of Different World, like that changed the like there. I forgot who it was, but I was someone has got a paper or they're doing something. It ain't no think piece, y'all. This is somebody really doing research because I didn't want that. They basically associated the black explosion of professionalism with Different World being coming into existence. We have so many black people getting degrees now.
Wow, look at that.
I'm shocked it happened, but I'm not shocked.
I think the thing about the Cosby Show for me though is that yo, the Cosby Show kind of even like in some ways acted like a surrogate family experience for so many people.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like to see that get kind of turned up is kind of crazy. But yo, I needed to see if the prodigal son or if the father would surpass. And it looks like the prodigal son showed.
But Bill Cosby's involved with both, though, so he still lives on. If this was money in this, he would still live on.
Yeah, that's fair. up next, yo, another showdown of similar genres, what things represented in different eras. Def Comedy Jam versus Chappelle Show. Moving on to the next round, dude.
This is showing a lot about demographic.
Moving on to the next round.
Chappelle Show, man.
Yo. And, like, listen, I've been one of the biggest advocates for the Chappelle Show the entire time through it being in here. Because that show made a bigger cross-cut impact on comedy for people that I know. And that where I was at.
But Comedy Jam changed black comedy, though.
Well, it did. But Chappelle Show, as far as, I in my opinion, Def Comedy Jam did it. But Chappelle Show did it in a way we never saw before, though. Like, that isn't what In Living Color did. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, that he didn't care. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a vehicle take a dude to the next level as much as that show did. Like, ever. Where he's standing on his own, though? Like, of course, he had co-stars and, like, writers. There was, like, four other people involved in it. But as far as Dave Chappelle himself?
Will Smith is, of anybody in this whole bracket, I think he is excelled the most because of being on his show than anybody else.
I think his show helped him be a vehicle, but you got to realize that Will also had other vehicles too. Like, Will was like the Jamie Foxx before the Jamie Foxx. You know what I'm saying? Dave Chappelle was just a dude that was doing a few spots in a couple movies.
That's true. And then Dave Chappelle was kind of undercover though too, because he had a couple of sitcoms and pilots and stuff that got canceled
right
before this.
But I mean, I just, with him and Neil Brennan teaming up for what they did with that show, like, it hit topics that Def Comedy Jam was absolutely, for us, it was like the soul train of comedy. You know what I'm saying? Like it just hit on all those levels, and it was for us seeing ourselves be ourselves in a way we hadn't before. But just as a whole, Chappelle's show just is something different than anything else you see that comes along. I mean, like, the only thing I've seen that gets anywhere close to, like, what that is since that time is what's my guy that did Get Out?
You're talking about Jordan Peele.
Yeah, Key and Peele. Key and Peele is, like, the only thing I've seen get close to kind of trying to do that thing again, but that wasn't Chappelle's show.
Yeah, you can do it, no.
You know, so shout out Chappelle's show, man. Moving on to the next round. And after that... Yo,
the UConn. What year UConn? I'm trying to think. I'm thinking. What year?
Like Richard Hamilton?
No, because they were underdogs against this. He's basically Duke of this bracket right now.
Martin.
Yeah,
we got
Duke
Martin.
And 99 Duke. Okay, but think about that Duke 99 lineup.
Okay, that's fair. That was good too. Martin. We got Martin taking on Sanford and Son. And yo, it wasn't even a fight. It wasn't even a fight. Martin cleaned up Sanford and Son. And yo, one of my homeboys, shout out to my guy Bird, he's doing dope design and stuff out in KC. But he said, yo, I voted, but I feel like some of these matchups at this point are going to be more representative for probably what the core demographic is. Because, like, people love Martin in our era because it was the grow-up show for him, whereas Sanford and Son was already kind of a throwback.
Yeah.
So if you got people in that demographic, they're going to love Martin more because of that. Like, now at the same time, I mean, Martin stands on his own 2 feet, you know, as far as being
same
you know,
thing,
power
Chappelle
show
versus the Comedy Jam, that's going to be a split within our demographic of the cats that's basically a little bit younger than us are going to go towards Chappelle. And those people a little bit older than us that will be voting are going to probably go Def Comedy Jam. And we're somewhere in the middle with mixture.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But Martin did numbers on, I mean, I didn't, Martin just ran away with it. You know what I mean? So Martin is still the heads on, head full of steam favorite going forward right now.
He's the one to one favorite. You don't even get no money.
Yeah.
Like, if you bet on him, you got to bet $1,000 to get $2.
Now, in the most awkward of our final of our Elite Eight showdowns, we had.
And the thuggish one. This is the hood.
This ended up being the hood bracket. You had the hood family that was holding it together against the cats that was trying to clean the hood up.
Or holding it down. Depending on where you look at it.
Or depending on what scene it was, you see it in a different way. We had The Wire versus Good Times. And like I feel like this is the prototypical matchup in this. Like, people were mad about having to pick between A Different World and The Cosby Show. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, one way or the other, you would have probably had to play one against the other.
At some point.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. But like, this is one of the ones that people look at, they say, how the hell is this going against this? And I understand.
Yeah.
I truly do understand. But, you know, there can only be one. And the Wire handled business. The Wire had the strongest third round showing of any show. And that's after kind of getting tightened up a little bit early on.
But we said that their previous round would probably be a little bit tougher for them than that round would be. If they got through there, they basically had a clear path to the Final Four.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. And it played out that way. So now, you know, speaking of the Final Four, we here. And now, as you listen to this, you can do it. Yo, head over to Bracketfy.com. Find the dopest black TV shows of all time.
Link is in the notes.
Yeah, link will be in the notes. Link will be on the page. It'll be on all that. You can check it out on Instagram. You can check it out on Facebook. We'll touch on this again later on in the show. Kind of hit a little bit of thoughts about them parents for the Final Four. But, man, let's touch on some of these topics we got.
Before we go to that, I got a tweet I want to read from... because you know I put up the You Ain't Know episode from the throwback episode, and people were like, "Whoa!" Basically, some people were like, "Well, they did not." You see, I changed the picture to it was Ray Allen from. So this one is from at Sincere 92. This is a woman. She says, "Wow, didn't know Ray was getting down like this. How did this fall under the radar?"
Oh, yeah, because, yo, check it out. Like, the backstory to that, you can go check that out, too, because that's up there. That's still on the archives and the throwbacks of the straight OLC site. But, so, like, I came into the studio that day, and I was like, yo, I got something. Right? I got something for y'all.
And this like, gonna sit off the whole night.
Yeah, like, everybody, Teddy wasn't sure, Javon didn't know what was up. I said, no, I got it. Let me do this.
Let me fly.
I dropped that knowledge on that Ray Allen jumping down in them DMs, and boy, people didn't know what to do.
He got hacked, and I think he just got off Twitter in general, period, didn't he?
I think he just decided to just to go. He might have moved to Wakanda after that, dropping them joints. He ended up like the Winter Soldier.
With one arm.
He left the Celtics.
Called the Black Wolf.
He left the Celtics. He was out. He was like, I'm done. In real life, he left the Celtics after that.
No, he did. He did.
He had to get out of Massachusetts. They said, you ain't re-signing with this team. You getting the hell out of here.
His wife was like, I'm out of here. He's like, I didn't even have no social media at all. I'm just going to need it.
Sugar Ray 34 is out.
Gone.
Yo, shout out. We dropped the link to the New York Hip Hop.
Yes.
String, which is easily the greatest thread in the history of the internet.
Dude, I read it every time we repost it. I reread it again, like I didn't read it. I haven't read it three other times.
I get every time I read that, I smoke a Black and Mild. The whole thing, I just smoke a whole Black and Mild when I get done with it.
People like I got people hit me with the big eyes, like yo, like yo, it's crazy.
It's like the thing that needs to be a movie.
Yes, not a movie. It needs to be a series on Netflix.
I believe with that too.
Yeah.
Real talk. It could be a graphic novel. I don't care. Yeah. Just put it in all black and white. Like, I don't want nothing else. Like, there's no color.
All right, man. Let's jump into some of these quick topics before we get into our main topic of the night.
All right, man. First up, yo, LeBron James doing this. Finally official. It's been talked about for years. LeBron James is doing Space Jam 2. What's up? We out here. They done made a Space Jam now for the generation, for our children, which has been long enough since the first Space Jam came out that they going to look at that one kind of like the longest yard with Burt Reynolds compared to the one with Nelly.
Nelly, yep. And what was it? Nelly and
Adam Sandler.
And Chris Rock.
And the great Khali.
And Tracy Morgan.
Yep. Think about that.
Dang. I forgot the great comedy.
So, like, are we going to, like, every 20 years, are we going to make another Space Jam?
They probably could.
We'll be in space by the goddamn next one.
Because Coogler's going to help produce it, right?
Yeah, so, like, that's kind of the background. Like, Ryan Coogler's going to produce it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure who the director is yet. I don't know if that's even determined yet. But, you know, LeBron James, you know, who's making, yo, power moves already in L.A.?
He moved out there for day one.
Like, he's took off. Like, he's continuing to rewrite the book on how you go about the business of sports as a platform.
Make it more crystal clear if you just really disliking that you are a fucking hater. No, like it shows like that you just have hate in your blood. Like you just downright hateful.
All right, scenario time. Top five people that just get the most irrational hate.
Kobe Bryant, even though I hate Kobe Bryant, I can see how that's irrational.
Are you admitting that you are irrationally hate Kobe Bryant?
No, I don't irrationally hate Kobe Bryant, but I can see how some people do irrationally hate Kobe Bryant.
So you hate him for legitimate reasons?
Yes.
Okay. State your legitimate reasons, non-irrational Kobe Bryant hater.
He a hoe.
Oh, okay. Well, moving right along. Next. No, next. LeBron James.
Beyonce.
Okay. Okay.
We'll talk about Beyonce in a minute.
Beyonce will come up again shortly. Oprah.
Yeah. Barack Obama.
Yep. But we have that's four. Man, and Thanos, man, like for real, like Thanos had an agenda, dog, and like he just had to get it off. Nobody that we hate on this show is irrational. Okay, Colin Kaepernick don't count because that's them. We talking about who we hate on.
Oh, okay.
Colin Kaepernick, top five most uniting brothers of all time in the black community.
Look, on the Lolo, he'll fuck around and be on the Mount Rushmore of black people in like 30 years, though. Nobody want to say that, but on the Lolo.
He out there, dog.
He out there. But you saying this amongst us is black people hating on. Okay.
Yeah.
Then LeBron. Five is LeBron. You said top five.
LeBron.
Kobe.
I don't know if Kobe's irrational.
You're thinking about it like, there's real legitimate
I don't think
reason.
I ever agreed with that. I don't know about that.
But you know what? Nah, you're right. I'm taking Kobe off because I got some other people.
Because of Denver or what?
Huh?
Because of Denver?
Denver, the Shaq thing.
Yeah.
I want to get traded thing. Yeah. But I'm supposed to be a G, though. But I did the same thing that LeBron did. I just couldn't get it done, basically. Because he was trying to get traded, too. It's just that he couldn't get it done. And I'm trying to think. On the Lola? It's a love-hate thing with him. Larry Bird.
Ooh.
To a certain extent.
Yes. I would co-sign that.
Because as I gotten older, I've respected Larry Bird as I've gotten older. As I was a kid, every black person has hated Larry Bird.
I fucked
Larry
with Larry
Bird
when I was young.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't, man. I mean, dude.
I had Larry Bird. I had Larry Bird Nerf hoop.
No, my dad was not letting that happen. Though,
I don't know how my dad did either. We'll have to ask him about that when he come on.
Yeah,
because my dad wasn't for that either.
Yeah. My dad was a Bulls fan to the heart.
It should have been a Magic Johnson in my house.
Yeah.
In the mid 80s?
Yeah.
Cause like I had that hoop when I was like three.
Oh, and then
that was 86, and that was Larry was MVP in 86.
Yeah, but that was the beginning of the downfall of Larry around there too.
Larry was starting to come down. Magic was on the way back up because I remember Magic had two peaks.
Yeah,
and Magic had that second peak before Isaiah and Mike said we'll take it from here.
Yeah,
but go back to Larry Bird though. Like Larry Bird gets irrational hate
because
I think a lot of people they look at him and like he white first of all, he unathletic. And he
That's
looked like this.
Though.
And that is a lie. Larry Bird was maybe the savviest, the two smartest basketball players I've ever seen in my life are LeBron James and Larry Bird.
I 100% agree. And if it wasn't for his back, we'd be talking about Larry Bird is one of the best of all time on the low, low, too.
He number six for me still.
He'd be the Eminem, basically.
Seven.
Of,
he number seven.
He'd be the Eminem of basketball. We would just be hating.
I mean, shit, he is, though.
Eminem is another one, too.
But he is, though. He is that. Like there's no,
but the back thing. I think people try to use the numbers and try to fuck with the because his career wasn't as long. The back,
but
thing.
People don't understand the numbers because every time you show Larry Bird numbers to somebody, they'd be like, he averaged 10 and 7 on top of 24, and then it fucks their case up.
Right? No, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
But they just don't visualize.
No,
it.
Lynn
Bias dying fucked his career up too.
It's one of them things that people. It's one of them things that people decide they don't want to believe. Like I literally had somebody look. I put up a highlight film of Larry Bird on Facebook that came across. I was like, I said, because y'all young cats need to know about this. And as I continue to get older and older and say more shit like that, but I said, y'all need to know about this. And dude was like, he's like, I hear everybody talking about it. I just can't see it that way. I'm like, you ain't even considering it. And that's what happens. And that is the irrational hate index.
Yeah, so
Oprah, Beyonce, Barack Obama. Larry Bird and LeBron James. God bless.
I know there's probably some other people probably can bring up.
Yeah, bring some more people up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of people that's underrated. I feel like Crispus Attucks is underrated. He got the Revolutionary War kicked off just by trying to walk home from the club.
And people understand that's really what happened.
That's exactly what happened. He was walking home from the club and got popped.
I mean, it was a pub.
It was a club. There's a DJ.
There's a pub, and it was like.
There's a DJ.
And that's the fucked up thing.
There was a line where only one person could get in, one could get out.
And a black man can't even be. He was a free black man, too. He's coming out having a little beer, walking through, like, oh, damn, what's cracking? Because, you know, we just like to see, we like to see, what's fucked up is that's when you know black people like to go see a fight. Because you saw some stuff going on. Hey, man, what's going on over there?
Crispus Attucks the reason, Crispus Attucks and Jason Voorhees the reason why niggas run without questions now.
100% correct. Because
last time we didn't run, the Revolutionary War kicked off.
Because of us.
Because of us. They done shot Crispus. Underrated. We'll do a show one day about the top 10 most underrated black people.
Historical people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get
y'all. Yes, we got
to
do that.
We'll get y'all ready for midterms here on the scenario. But yeah, but anyway, man, back to Space Jam. You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's a good formula. The first Space Jam's not a good movie, but it's just, it, you know, it's just good fun. Time. You know, yeah. It's just fun. So we'll see, man. But shout out to LeBron, man. Like, that's, yo, that's dope.
Is this under Warner Brothers?
It's got to be if Bugs Bunny and all them is in it.
But I mean, are they going to be in it? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is Space Jam property still owned by Warner Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well then, yeah, it's going to be Bugs Bunny in it.
Yeah. So on next to the mess of the week, let's talk about the messiest moment of the week right here. All right, so this is like a two-pronged thing. Like, I got to figure out the right place to start with this.
Because we call him the Apex Predator, right? Is that?
Yeah, we're going to get around to that. We're going to get around to that. Well, anyway, well, maybe we walk this back. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Jimmy Butler here on the show.
Well, damn. And it's so funny, y'all. Within our crew of friends, we use that as a part of, like, the vernacular now. Like, was it a well damn moment? Or was it, was she well damn? Like, you'd be like, man, it was a good-looking girl though that I met that I want to holler. Was she well damn?
Oh, we had a 15-minute debate about the how that well damn was
should have been perceived.
Was deployed.
The Apex Predator, I'm calling him.
So Jimmy Butler has had an interesting 48 hours leading into this show. First of all,
I mean quickly.
Yeah, like real quick. Like it was like it's been like a blur. You know, Jimmy Butler, Minnesota Timberwolves shooting guard, all star. You know, formerly of the Chicago Bulls, formerly homeless, formerly disrespectful to Dwayne Wade, came out yesterday and said, "Hey, I'm done up here. I'm ready to get out." So he said, "I need a trade." The brother's been in Minnesota for a year. He's realized that Minnesota is probably not the right place for him. Mm-hmm. So he, and as is the case in the NBA these days, he drops a list of places that he would be willing to accept a long-term deal with. And that is the LA Clippers, the New York Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets. Now, that's the equivalent of saying, I'm tired of living where I live. I want to move to Beirut. I want to move to Syria. Or I want to move to North Russia.
And I need it ASAP.
And I want to be in one of them cities in the next month. I want to move to Syria, Beirut, or Russia for the next year so I can decide to stay there for an even longer period of time.
They're talking about him and Kyrie supposed to be linking up.
Yeah, I hear that. I'd be interested to see how that works.
He's a free agent after this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see how that works, especially if the Celtics get busy this year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But we'll see. But I mean,
New York is going to be the best place because they got – you know, the Porzingis down low.
Yeah, they can afford it. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about
in Brooklyn. We don't want to get.
Yeah, we'll talk about the basketball side of it some other time. But anyway,
we're talking about for the real meat and potatoes. That was just your roles.
It has triggered a domino rally of fuckery. Since then.
Yeah.
One fuckery domino dropped and then just a whole row of them kicked off immediately. And this has something for everybody.
Oh, everybody. Male, female, sports fan, non-sports fan, everything. You don't even have to like basketball and you can get into this.
Yeah, so Jimmy Butler went to a team with a bunch of young-ass cats. Like, this is the plight of the early 80s brother interacting with people born 10 to 12 years after him now. And not even that long for them. But it's like the world has changed significantly enough. So he went to Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, who was supposed to be.
And he's like, you know, he's going to be another big three.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be the
guy. And
he
had Teague at point guard.
Yep. He's going to be the guy. They was going to make a run. They was going to make things happen. And he got up there and saw these cats. And he just declared, I think I wouldn't be taking too much of a liberty by saying this, some goofies. And was like, yo, I can't do this no more. I can't do this no more. So he's made it real clear he don't like Karl Anthony Towns.
He don't like Wiggins either, though.
Like, yeah, exactly. So they offered him an extension. He said, absolutely not. Like, he disliked.
They put a max deal in front of him. He's like, absolutely not.
He disliked these dudes so much that he said no to $109 million.
Hey, that's real hate on the low.
How much you hate a motherfucker? Say no to $109 million over him. Listen, I don't hate states full of people that much.
Yeah, right.
I'd move to Alabama for that kind of money.
Oh, I'd move to Antarctica for that kind of money.
That's what it felt like up there. But, you know, they've been beefing heavy. So when Butler declared this, it kicked off when Andrew Wiggins' brother went on Instagram or on Twitter,
yeah,
and said, and retweeted on top of one of his things. He said
he was real messy with it because he ain't even like just say thank God and just kind of keep it where you got to kind of, you know, subliminally tweet and figure out what he was talking about. He let you know what he was happy about.
Mm-hmm. He says, hallelujah, on top of the reports of Butler saying he was ready to go. And then Andrew Wiggins sparked up later on that day, talking shit. And then Steven Jackson, did you see the video?
Yeah, you said it's me.
Steven
yeah.
Jackson. So, no, hold up.
Let's go.
You talk about Steven Jackson. We're gonna go. Let's let people hear this for themselves.
Say, little one, you got a lot of talent, kid. You got a lot of talent. And I hope you have a good year. I hope somewhere you can find some heart and find some passion for the game and have a good year. I really wish you the best. Oh, I'm 40. Thank God I'm happy to see 40. Bum, I never been that. You know that. I'm from the old school, bro. I'm cut under the old law. You know what I'm saying? Respect it or check it. All that, I'm going to have that same energy wherever I go, all that. Say, man, make sure your energy straight when you see me, bro. All right? I'm pretty sure you know who I am. Make sure your energy straight. Just focus on finding some heart and having a good year. I wish you the best. You got a lot of talent. Just find that. Please don't try to do that with me, bro. You know what I'm saying? Just keep that same energy. I'll catch you in traffic. 100.
Stack five, man. Stack five.
That's when you feel like you got your grown man strength, and then you run up on your uncle or your daddy the wrong way, and then you get flexed real bad.
So did he say something straight about Steve Jack?
He just said something. What I heard about what Wiggins said was that he said, "Yo, why these old dudes always talking shit?"
Oh, okay.
And Steve Jack, you hear what he had to say? Yeah. He said, "Don't be on the internet yapping to me, youngster, because you're gonna see me at some point."
He's like, "Oh no, I'm gonna find you." And I believe you'll find, because Steven Jackson has now converted himself into an analyst that is going to be at all these places now. He's got a suit on every week on NBA Countdown now. Who would have ever thought that?
He told Andrew Wiggins' brother he on TV more than his brother, and he don't even play no more.
But who was Andrew Wiggins' brother in the first place?
I don't know. He like one of the dudes in Entourage. He'd just be bouncing around.
Okay, this is in the crew.
Yeah. So, but anyway, getting back to Jimmy Butler. You know, so in the midst of all of this, Jimmy Butler want to go play ball somewhere else, which is a pretty regular story these days. It got real ratchet out of nowhere.
Day two. Now let's go to day two. That was all on day one. Day two, a report comes out from internet sleuths. And this is not like, you know, the internet, but they really literally tracked everything that was going on and figured out that Jimmy Butler was smashing Karl Anthony Towns' girlfriend. That's how the beef started. Now, you're like, what? Yo, these internet cats done dig through everything, people Instagram posts, things like that, and going all the way through.
They done basically cut the magazine up and put the pieces back together. They did the Watergate. They got all the shreds back together and put them joints back together.
Taped all them shreds together.
They said, we got a whole case right here. It was like Mr. Glass when he showed up with all of that.
They had it ready, set to go, putting it up like, boom, here it is. And then, of course, they ain't even true. Ha, 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 ha. Hey, man. I read through all that stuff.
Have we got a statement from the young lady yet?
Yeah, she said it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That me and Carl broke up for other reasons.
But did she say that she never ducked down with Jimmy?
No, she just said it's not true.
Okay.
Now, those are one of those cryptic tweets that aren't associated with anything directly. She was like, y'all funny.
We need to know what Ray Allen think about this.
Yo, Jimmy Butler, is he Mr. Steal Your Girl?
Yo, Jimmy Butler is the apex predator, dog.
He is.
I mean, he's out here. He's out here on the prowl.
They say he got up in her DMs. That's how he ended up getting her. And maybe the first step to him to try to get Gabby was that, well, damn. And then, you know, that's how cats try to get women on the internet, if y'all don't know. For how the DM hustle goes, guys will start commenting and liking their picture. Then they slide in the DMs. Is that what Jimmy was like? Oh, I do this all the time.
I think
I'm stepping up to Gabby.
I think this all happened. I think it absolutely happened.
I believe all of it.
I think every second of this happened. And that now it's got out. And I think this stuff happens in the league more than it gets put out.
Oh, it happens
out.
All the time. Think about the whole drama between Jason Kidd, Jimmy Jackson.
3J?
All three J's.
All three
Jamal
J's.
Jamal Mashburn and
Jimmy
Tony,
Jackson.
And Tony Braxton.
Yep.
Allegedly.
1995.
Wasn't it? Who got played in the date and she went out with, was it Jimmy Jackson? She played Jason Kidd, I think, and went out on a date with Jimmy Jackson.
And I feel like
Jamal Mashburn was trying to put in a bid too.
Yeah, I feel like Jamal Mashburn was the homie that was at the crib that was dirty macking on
Jason,
the couch.
Jason Kidd was one that got stood up on a date, and Jimmy Jack was the one doing Jimmy Jack things that you would think Jimmy Jackson would be doing. If you saw Jimmy Jackson, you'd know what he would be on. He seemed like he'd have been a lower tier.
Jimmy Jackson looked like he would have been one. I mean, yeah, Jimmy Jackson looked like he would have been the dude that was dressed up in the club in like Boomerang with like them big silk shirts on and them white pants.
And getting your girl.
And getting it in.
And getting your girl too.
Yeah, he looked like a young ass Reggie Theus.
There you go. But, there you go. Shout out to Reggie Theus.
But yeah, so Jimmy Butler, man, is on the move and he's looking to get out west. And I think it furthers your theory that he's closing in on his ultimate prize, which is Gabrielle Union.
Dude, this is all about Gabrielle Union. Because look, she's either gonna be shooting movies in LA or New York. Now, he goes in New York. Now, I want to be a real conspiracy theorist here. What if he does go to New York and then Gabrielle Union gets a TV show in New York? Can we just go ahead and say the Apex Predator is
so? He might be the biggest architect of disaster that we've seen in some time.
He got it all set up. That was they call Randy Orton the Apex Predator. No,
that's not. Yes.
This is Jimmy Butler.
He trying to RKO that ass.
And you see Dwayne Wade retiring now because of this all too, though. That's another layer to this drama. The Dwayne Wade said this is last year.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade's going off into the sunset.
And you know what? Damn, maybe that's what part of the reason he said I want to. Because Dwayne Wade said he wanted to retire before Jimmy Butler said he wanted to be traded. Jimmy Butler's like, I only got 1 year to get her.
Yeah.
I got 1 year before he traveling and hanging out with her and stuff all the time.
Is your man going to be there?
Who's my man?
That's not your man. Her man.
Your man. I mean,
like he asking them homecoming questions. You bring your husband with you?
Is he moving to New York with you? Or is he gonna stay in Miami?
We have to do that in a couple weeks. How how devious homecoming be?
For college and high school and college.
Yeah. It's like
the Apex Predator.
Jimmy Butler, man. Shout out to Jimmy Butler. All right, before we hit the main event for the evening.
This is going to be a nice long, I won't say long, it's going to be the nice meat of the show, this last part.
Before we get there, this is the out of left field stuff that happens that you just be sitting there looking at sometimes like, what the fuck? So apparently Beyonce is getting sued for witchcraft.
Oh, I forgot about this shit. Yes. By St. Louis' own, too.
Yeah.
Drummer.
I got to read the...
You gonna read the news report?
I have to. Like it's like I was reading it and I was like, huh? What are we doing here?
Because I saw the beginning of it when you sent me the link and I was like, where gives you the preview? And I'm like, nah.
Oh, here's the headline. And this is from a legitimate paper in town. This isn't a tabloid or anything like that. This is in the Riverfront Times, which is a real paper here in the town. Beyonce's St. Louis raised drummer accuses star of murder, molestation, and witchcraft.
It's a lot of stuff there.
Beyonce Knowles, former drummer, I'll skip the name, attempted to get a temporary restraining order against the Lemonade singer by alleging extreme witchcraft, dark magic, and magic spells of sexual molestation.
Of sexual molestation.
Let this all settle in. Can you imagine hearing that get called on the docket?
Section 3-4 case 494962 Beyonce knows.
Here's the last
Beyonce don't show up for this, right?
Here's the last paragraph I'm gonna read from this. Mm-hmm. A judge denied the request for the restraining order. We were not able to reach Queen B for comment. Witchcraft. How do you go to, how do you walk into somewhere and say, yes, I'd like to file a complaint over witchcraft? Oh, what exactly been happening? People have been flying around with broomsticks and they put a sexual sexual molestation spell on me.
Have you seen the movie The Craft?
Yes.
No, no, I'm saying that's what the person says. Oh, the person, no. That, the thing that, have you seen the movie The Craft? Remember the little black girl on there?
That's Beyonce.
That's Beyonce. That's exactly what they do, though. And I'm like, yeah. Even if they are doing witchcraft, let's say there's a 0.1% chance. How can you prove that? Do they have a certain days, like Tuesdays and Thursdays, where they do their witchcraft, like where you can catch them, like
witchcraft? Witchcraft.
What did she put this lawsuit in? Like, not lawsuit.
I don't know where it was filed.
They didn't say what state.
She probably went to the Supreme Court. Said, I just need this everywhere.
Like, y'all having them problems with, what's the dude's name? Is it Kaufman? The dude that that they trying to vote for the Supreme Court.
Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Like, I've been hurt too. Can you go ahead? Ma'am, we could definitely help you, and me too. She definitely. Who did Beyonce? Excuse me.
I don't know if we can do anything about that.
She did it. She molested me. She did witchcraft
on me. She put spells of sexual molestation on her. Not she actually molested her. She put spells of sexual molestation.
Spells.
It's like she just read an R. Kelly article and then decided to apply it to Beyonce.
God damn.
All right, man. Let's take a break real quick and then we'll get into the the event of the week here.
All right, main event time. So, Matt and I went to the 4 of the 6 New Edition concert.
RBRM?
Yeah, RBRM.
That's really hard for me to say.
It is, I don't know why. It's hard to remember, too.
Yeah. I have to always go back to the Cool It lyric, and I'd be like, what did they say to me?
Bobby? Ricky? Bobby? No.
Ronnie? Bobby? Ricky? And Mike?
Yeah. And then I think of the ABC version. Chris, Mark, Dave, Roe.
Dave.
It's got to be one Dave.
Dave.
So we went to this concert. We had pretty decent seats. We're on the floor. And these are the conscious stream of thoughts we've had.
Wait, because I don't want to go through this entire. I'm even willing to go back to the night before.
Oh, okay.
You had quite the Saturday. Yes. And I didn't think the show was going to happen. So we texted on Saturday night, and I was just like, yeah, just pick up the tickets. So I was like, all right. I was like, bet, I'll just get them. They're on the floor. It's whatever. Let's just get them.
Yeah.
And we picked these up, and it's like, cool. So I hadn't talked to you or anything. And then you pull up. And first of all, let me explain this too. One day, if a reverse biography was ever written about Daryl, the title of it would be, I'm on my way. The life and times of people who waited on Daryl Frierson to show up for something in their life.
That's real.
He was on the way for so long. I changed shirts twice. I had 2 drinks. I watched a half of football and played a couple games of spades on my phone.
I see. I got a daughter, man. It's hard to get out.
He was on the way, but he wasn't. But he was. That's the reverse biography of your life. And it's going to be like an oral history written about you by everybody.
I'm not as bad as Tap. That's a whole other story.
Anyway, you pulled up and you was talking like you had been in the studio all night.
I had a bad voice. My throat is still even bad a little bit. My voice was horrible. Like, it was like, I sound like Bill Cartwright and shit.
You sounded like the dude Funkhauser on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh, Super Dave.
Super Dave. Yes. Yeah, it was raspy as hell, and it was going in and out. So nobody could really hear me for real, so they had to repeat everything so it made it worse.
Yeah.
So it was horrible off the top of it, but.
But you got to say all the things you wanted to say because nobody could hear you.
You goddamn right I did.
We drank it back. Yeah. You get sick. You just drink your voice back. And
oh, no. I got my voice started to get better as the more drinks.
Yeah, it did. It did. It's amazing. It's amazing how that works. The healing properties of alcohol. But, yeah. So, I mean, like, we was on the way. And we did everything we could, first of all, to avoid the beginning of this show. And we were
thwarted.
We were an hour and a half late, and we didn't miss anything.
Some dude went on stage named something. I can't remember his name. And we like, oh shit.
He looked like Wacky. He looked like Wacky D.
But he wasn't as light skinned like Wacky D though.
Well, he was doing that. He had that same
shout out to Stoney Jackson who played Wacky D. Stoney Jackson finds a way to come in every episode somehow.
Stoney Jackson will make his way.
So we were like, yo, okay, when Case goes on, how many songs? That was the first thing
we Case,
that
was the so first, Case, Touch Me, Tease Me, Case.
Was supposed to be the opening act.
Was supposed to be the solo. Well, him and Kid Capri were right. The opening act.
Mm-hmm. We are on our way over there, and we were like, how many songs can Case really do? And we were like, four or five. And then we were like, but damn, he going to start doing other people's songs too, though.
Yep. And sure enough.
That shit up. No, going back, remember we were walking and then somebody was talking about Case ain't went on yet.
Oh, we was walking in on the security. It was like, oh, the main acts haven't even got on yet. We were still waiting on the first one. I was like, God damn.
So we finally get through it.
And that's at 8:15 for a 7 o'clock show. Letting you know the underlying theme of this whole thing is going to be understand what it's like to go to a truly black concert.
Exactly. It's a black ass show, man. But so we finally get in, go through security, all that good stuff. Wasn't no issues or nothing. Except them like kept saying like, you gotta make sure you got the change out your pocket. And I was like, I ain't gonna, like, who has that much change?
Like, I don't. It was some old change. Players in there though.
Oh, that's the, we're gonna talk about that in a second. So we get in and we like, oh snap, Case up. So we hype, we finna get us a drink. We saw the homie Sleepy and his wife. Shout out to Sleepy.
Had a Bobby Brown shirt in his possession already.
Yeah. So then we saw one of your friends.
Yeah. We saw my guy. We saw one of my frat brothers who runs things over at Ballpark Village.
So then I turn around and I'm like, hey man, that ain't Case. Cause you had the little screens up. And he's like, yeah, it is. That ain't Case. Case. Nah.
That wasn't him. He had like two chicks dancing behind him, and he was in the middle of the stage.
And you realize it was the same two chicks that danced for RBRM.
Was it?
Yeah, he rented them out.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
he rented them out. I hope they got triple pay for that.
Yeah, that was probably part of it.
I thought he brought his cousins.
It was probably about six girls that danced with them at the end.
Yeah,
probably. So they probably have to rotate every city for him. Like, it's two of them got to rotate.
I didn't do it from here, though.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh.
He ain't part of the show regularly. That's just the local spotlight.
Oh shit! Okay. Yeah. Well, then maybe that was his woman. I thought those were his the chicks.
I thought he got them like
from over on Wall.
Yeah, like
over the Wall.
Yeah, he went across the street and got
Judy Best.
Got him from old Club 7. But anyway, so here's the first moment of really under third, the second. Let's say the timing of how things were going mm-hmm. along is the first indication that you were at a black ass concert. The second thing is the ethnically themed drink menu.
Yo, this is at Saints University's basketball venue.
So too. This is an all Catholic university.
Jesuit on top
Jesuit,
of-
yes. A Jesuit institution's basketball arena. Now it's a good size arena. It's not like they was playing at like some high school gym
or
something.
It's about 8,000, right?
Yeah, it can get up there. I think it can do 10 even.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So you put 10,000 people in here. It's a solid enough venue. But I looked at the menu and I was at the thing and I was like, yo.
They had Hennessy Punch. But they knew their demographic. That line was long as fuck, remember?
Yeah.
The regular drink line wasn't that long. That Hennessy Punch line was around the
Hennessy
corner.
Punch was draped around the corner. But then we was like, well, I don't want that. That sounds like that'll shut me down.
Do you want me to make it through this concert?
Like, that sounds like that's like making niggas break bottles in the club punch right there. But then, so I looked up, we went over to the shorter liquor line, which was still ethnically slanted at the very top. Hennessy Hurricane, $14.
Then they only had all black drinks aligning. If you read, you took a picture of it.
I'll read it. The next thing, a premium cocktail. Hennessy, Ciroc, Patron, and Crown Royal.
Man. Yo.
If Rascal Flatts was playing, it wasn't going to be that.
No.
So here's where I'm at this point, but then there's more. You know, they had the regular beers that you got there. That's good. Then you get down to wine. Cabernet, Rosé, and Moscato. I was like, yo, this is fucking offensive, but it's accurate as hell.
No, it's offensive, but it's a moneymaker. I ain't mad at them.
Like, they were out of everything. Like, people came in this joint and thought they went to their people house. It was like the blackest wedding of all time. Like, I ain't even mad. The only thing
they were out of Crown when we got up there.
They were out of Crown.
By 8:30.
Yeah, out of Crown before Casey even got on stage. As we continue. So I'm looking at this menu and I'm just like, yo, like, this is wild. And, like, of course, every moment I turned around, there was some dude in an all-white linen suit with some of them strap sandals on walking around, too.
Like they on a beach.
It's like a reminder. It's like the thing that always reminds me, nah, you ain't as old as you think you are.
You be like, I ain't got to that level yet.
I don't think I'm gonna get there at this point. Yeah, I think I'm just gonna skip.
Never been my stilo.
So let's talk about the do we want to go to Seton Dynamics? Let's do the first part of Seton Dynamics here, because we were trying to figure things out a little bit. So we went ahead and got some floor seats. It was a good call. I mean, the price was negligible compared to sitting up the next level to over there. So we just got floor seats. You know, they got a little bar down there, so you ain't got to go upstairs. Exactly. It's a little cheaper too.
Same stuff.
They had Tito's down there though, too. They
they upgraded a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit of Tito's. Their Tito's was gone, by the way, but it was there. It furthered the point that it was black as hell. But so we get down there, we look into the crowd, and I'm just trying to peep the scene out, see who's all in there. And it starts to dawn on me that this might could be the come up for some people. This is a thought we had that we continue to revisit, so we don't need to go all the way into it, because as the night moved along,
we can continue to extrapolate this idea out.
Keep this in thought in mind, everybody, that we're looking into the crowd, starting to realize the dynamic of what's happening here. So Daryl looks around, first of all, as he always does, and looks for the white people.
That's true. Off the top, I'm trying to see where the white people are.
Yeah.
We found them. We found Sister Mary Ann and Sister Kathy.
And they were sitting in the second row off the floor with New Edition shirts on from like 15, 20 years ago.
And I'm talking about, these are like 60-year-old white women.
Yeah.
This ain't like your...
Yo, they were probably like 50, because, you know, adjust for deflation. Aging like an avocado.
Deflation.
Yes. So, yeah. That's that. They might have been 35. Yeah. But, so we looked through, and then, yo, this is when we had our first breakthrough of the night. Now, mind you, nobody's on stage still, because Case hasn't decided to show up yet. So we're just kind of sitting there chilling.
Shout out to DJ Cut. He was DJing.
Yeah, DJ Cut was doing his thing. Just doing his thing. So we look over, and Daryl looks over and sees a couple. I'll let you take it from here.
And I go, man, this black dude, he's super geeked there, and he's with this Caucasian woman, but it's a flood of black women around him. And I'm like, he just brought her into the den of thieves. Like, you put her into a bad physical situation. You got to go to the bathroom with her. You got to do everything. She might get her ass kicked up in here. What are you doing with that black man that you out there with? Like, I just look, and if she's sitting around, it's like you bringing somebody into a nest of vultures all around, and then you sitting there, he's sitting there giggling and laughing like Stevie Wonder and shit, you know what I'm saying? And she just sitting there like she don't really want to be there for real, and because she know that those vultures sitting right around her just staring her the fuck down.
It was a very interesting role. We'll talk about how that role got even more interesting in a second.
As the night went on.
So we at that point. So now at this point, Case comes on stage. So we get up to go get drinks.
Exactly. Keep in mind, we were listening to DJ Cut kicking it. Case comes out.
Oh, wait. Hold up. Before Case came out, the laziest DJ of all time came on stage.
Oh, Case's DJ.
Yeah.
What does he come out with first?
Oh.
What is it? No, I know what it is. I'm asking our listeners to think about, what do you think the laziest DJ song is to come out with?
And then imagine all four of them playing back to back.
The first one, I'm gonna let you, gonna give you guys 2 seconds to think. Fat Man Scoop, fucking, I forgot the name of the song, but it's the one bass drop
with the love fake, like this before.
Yeah, but it's a, it's called something. I forgot. It's a, it's a name of a, it's oh, okay. a, actual, that actual mix is a name. There's a name for that mix. It's like Lifetime.
It's all good. It's, yeah. it's, they know this. You know it. Bass drop.
Yep. And he came out today. He's like, yeah, St. Louis, well, you know y'all want to do it. And I'm like, we like, yo, that is the laziest.
Stop yelling at us.
Why you and it's a la- it's lazy.
Like, nobody's excited, but everybody's just like, all right, it's music, so it's better than the stage being empty. You know, but so he plays,
it's
like,
called Be Faithful.
Okay.
It's Be Faithful.
Okay. He plays the, he plays like the laziest DJ mix of all time. But we still sit there to look at it, see what's going on, stretch our knees a little bit. Then Case comes on stage and we go to get drinks. Because the goal since the time we got in the car
was to miss Case.
Was to miss Case. Mm-hmm. And we, so we was, I was,
but the fucked up part is we went and the fucking one of the songs we did like came on.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking Faded Pictures.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he played it in the middle of the set. We thought
yeah,
that he
Joe
would,
wasn't there, so we had to jump to his verse.
Yeah, he thought he would do it later on, but of course, while we're standing in line, he started singing other people's songs like we just knew he would.
Oh man, he went through a lot. He did H Town. No, that's when we got back. We got our drinks already. When he did the H Town.
Yeah,
he did Jodeci. Mm-hmm. Did he do Aretha Franklin? He did Aretha Franklin too, didn't
no,
he?
No, I thought he did Stevie.
He did Stevie. Because he only did 4 or 5 songs and did like 4 or 5 other people's mm-hmm. songs.
And then, like, and then, of course, he plugged his album that's coming out.
Oh, and he did his new song featuring Tank and Teddy Riley. We didn't hear that. We heard that from when we were getting drinks. I heard that that was what it was.
That's right.
It was, that was the, actually, he was performing that as we was walking in to get our drinks.
Yeah.
And then Faded Pictures came on while we were getting our drinks.
Yeah. And then he did a song. It was like, oh, I forgot he did this. And it's like one of them times you really remember. You're like, oh, okay.
What song was that one he did?
This dude had a good run.
Yeah, he had some. He had some good joints. Like, but, he had some strong joints.
I mean, but I still feel like, I don't know. I still feel like I'd get that nigga to sing at my wedding for like a marginal cost. Like, it wouldn't even be anything that would really fuck the budget up.
Yeah, and then shout out to Raven and her sister Summer. They said he was trying, they were like in fourth row. Mm-hmm. And they said he was up there trying too hard and everything with the women, though. Like,
they said he tried to, he said he tried to get some momentum up to do like a little spin and almost yeah. pulled his hamstring.
Yeah. And Raven recorded it because she's an asshole. Like, look at him right here, though. Look at him pulling his hamstring right here.
Oh, and then he, when he was doing that knocking, doing knocking the boots. He was like, I know y'all know the words of this. Put the mic in the crowd, and somebody sang it completely wrong. Yeah. And I'm just like, dog.
And she had the biggest weave I had seen in a long time. Just yeah, on, this like side, we, on this side of the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah, like we saw this weave from like 45 yards away.
Literally. We didn't need to see the TV either, though. It was yeah. like literally.
It was kind of like watching a New Year's Day float. It was like kind of crazy. But then after that, that's when he pissed you off.
Yes.
Because that's when he did the Keith Sweat duet.
Come on.
And you was like, this is taking it too far.
Yeah, you can't do this, man.
Yeah.
It was the Make It Last Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, man.
And he was like trying to get the crowd to sing.
Yeah, the woman part and all
and,
that.
And like, they was kind of like, this doesn't feel like we're supposed to be singing.
And then he was, oh, the song that we forgot he was on, the two, it was two more songs. We forgot he was on, no, that it was Faded Pictures, and we forgot he was on the fucking Ja Rule song.
Yeah.
Living it up. That's, right. That's when we was like, when he came out, we was like, oh shit, he was, that was him on this song.
Because that's because I think that Ja Rule's whole career has got Thanos' finger snapped. Like, there's not been anybody in my life that's had a bigger run for a period of time.
And you forget about him
remembers.
Until you hear the songs.
Yep. That whole Ja Rule, J-Lo time before 50 Cent came out.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing.
And he had
like,
some years.
Yeah, he had a run.
Like 99 to 2003.
Yeah, he had a run. He was like the running parallel with Eminem, Nelly, and Jay-Z in yeah. their little time.
100%.
And like
Eminem
we,
too.
But we don't remember.
We don't remember them.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
So like Case, it was like Case came like into reality, and like we didn't know he had existed before. And like I think he was late because Jiffy Lube closed at 7.
He had to get off work.
He wasn't off yet. And I understand having to do what you got to do Dude, when you need
yeah.
to do it.
You still, he still want to give his dreams. His album's dropping.
Yeah.
But shout out to Case, man. He did.
No,
okay.
Give him hell. But he sounded good.
Yeah.
Sounded good. Dude sounded good. Probably just should keep the dance moves to a minimal.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna sing other people's songs, don't have the crowd sing them because that's breaking. breaking the third wall.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sing somebody else's song, but then have the crowd sing it.
Yeah.
Because it's
already, your song, you can do that, but not everybody else.
And I understand maybe you don't have confidence they're going to sing your song back to you, but then when they don't sing the other person's song back to
that
you,
that means they're not fucking with you at all.
Exactly. So then the world famous DJ Kid Capri came out and just tore it up. He spent 20 minutes just mixing stuff from the 70s.
Yeah. And then he mixed stuff that was just regionally based for us too, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was only like a cat from the Midwest would be fucking with.
Kid Capri came out and just destroyed it. Like,
yeah.
Like, it literally was like, it made me look at the other dude that was playing that pre-recorded DJ mix.
And I
like,
wanted $5 back from that dude to give it to Kid Capri.
Yeah. We're going to need to find him. Reparations.
Yeah. And give it to Kid Capri.
Let me put him on the list of people that owe me money.
So then next up, what are we talking about next?
So next is when we had an epiphany, if you will,
mm-hmm.
about the whole purpose of
of this event.
Of the second tier black concert experience. Now, this isn't the On the Run tour or Migos and Drake or nothing like that. This is
second tier.
This is second tier. This is,
and it's not old. It's not Fox Theater either, though, where it's like a classy.
Yeah, it's still a
classy, older kind of. You need a Baker joint either, though.
Yeah, no. It's not that. So it's kind of what it is for what it is, and it's all good. You know, good stage production, still all of that. But
they had a great stage production.
Yeah, the stage was
dope. The stage was dope, but. As we looked through the crowd some more, we started to realize something was at play. This level of concert is where you take your side chick to.
100%.
There were so many dark corners and crevices in there that you could get away on a Sunday night. You know what I'm saying? Slide it in real quick for the week start.
You come in. You let your other homeboy that go let you know when case is going off where you can come in when nobody's in the hallway.
We was looking.
You actually made miss the first song.
We were kind of looking at the crowd. We was like, man, them people look kind of weird together. like people don't look like this together usually.
Nah,
like, there's something going on here.
Something's amiss.
And then I looked at section 106, and I was like, man,
that section is ripe.
Like it's kind of like a shadow over it. Like you could kind of sit back in there and just kind of like nobody was sitting in it. But then, like, it filled up, like, all at once. Like, they just let everybody in.
Just came in all of a sudden. There was nobody over there. And then all of a sudden, it was, like, filled up.
Mm-hmm. And it's, like, you not by the lights of the stage. It ain't, like, posting, like,
pointing. And you're not on the floor where people can look down and see, oh, there got my boy right there.
Right. Exactly. We said, this is perhaps the purpose of this entire thing.
It's for your side chick.
And that's when we looked up into the sky.
And saw the Holy Grail.
Now, as is the case in most places, there were luxury boxes there. Now, they were blacked out because nobody's buying a luxury box to the 4-6 of New Edition in case show. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
No.
But we looked up, and in one luxury box,
the lights were on.
The lights were on, but only in the back, so you couldn't see them. The lights were behind
silhouettes.
Them. Yeah, the lights were on behind them as they looked down. And I looked up, and I realized, that's the side chick suite. That's when you want to show your second lady a good time.
And you got a little bit of paper.
You got a little. I mean, you don't have to spend much because we spent minimal dollars to be into the action where we were at. So you got a little bit of paper, but you want to still show her a nice time.
And you
but you don't want to show everybody else that you're showing her a nice time.
And you had a couple of the homeboys, too.
Yeah.
Because it was a suite of side chicks.
Yes. Yes.
So everybody's in on this con, as they say.
Everybody's in there on the same mission together.
Yeah. And look, because those that have the stairs that go straight up to it from the side. You can come straight up into it. You just got to get up those 4 or 5 flights, and you right into the suite.
So,
and you probably can stay around, hang out a little bit, and let the calm down. We have some more drinks, hang out, finish up these shrimp cocktails, and then we can ride out because we don't want to mess with the traffic.
Yeah, we just miss all that. It's cool. We spent enough on the side chick suite that we should be able to have a little extra time.
Yeah.
And every time I've been in a suite in my life, I've always had as much time to get out as I want to.
Yep.
Because it's all good. It's love. It's like a thing where it keeps going. Let's order some post game food. Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
You know, but
it was amazing.
The side chick suite, in and of itself, takes a extra effort of duty to really put that into play. Because that's my thing about it is the side chick suite is not a place. It's a state of mind.
It's like Kung Long, as you said.
You got to believe in the side chick suite and it'll appear.
It can be anywhere.
It could be anywhere. I mean, the side chick suite could be anywhere that you need for it to be. It could be at your RBRM concert.
It could be
Friday night at Joe's happy hour where they doing 3-for-1 drinks.
And you got that little small little corner that Joe lets you get for the low low.
It could be at lunch in a popular eatery spot at 11 o'clock instead of noon.
Early or at 2.
Yeah, exactly. Late lunch. I got to work. But I'm going to get off a little early. Boom, the side chick suite has appeared. It's a magical place, like when you first found that second level on Mario when you could bust through the ceiling and then skip levels. That's the original side chick suite, courtesy of Japan.
But is the side chick suite when they say in the Bible when one or more are together that the spirit of God is in you? Is the side chick suite at a higher level when there's more than one side chick situation?
Yeah.
Like the level is raised of all this side chickness.
Because then it's like the Rico Act where everybody can go down together or everybody can prosper together.
You're right about that. Look, the Carter gonna get burned, or we gonna get this money?
Or we gonna live?
C&B.
So like, I looked up.
We all we got.
I looked up and I looked at it and I was just like, huh? Like, this is a glimpse into the other world that we're sitting here having. Now, mind you, this is probably like our fourth drink by this time, mm-hmm. because New Edition still isn't on stage. But I looked up and I had a glimpse into the underbelly of life and I realized like, huh. Cats really are out here by all means. And let me mind you, ladies, before you say anything, or fellas, before you say that I'm giving up the game or anything, yo, the side chick suite. Side chick is just a moniker for side activity, period.
Yeah.
It's some
women up in there that have, absolutely. That's what they side man, too.
Or they side lady.
Yeah.
That they man don't know about.
Yeah. Side dude suite, too. Yeah.
And I looked up, and this is jumping ahead a little bit. We'll go back to the beginning of the show. But I looked up into the side chick suite briefly while they were singing Jealous Guy. And I was just like, huh, this is like the sky, the clouds parting right now for the first time in the spring.
After a big old rainstorm.
Yeah, like, man, we made it through winter, but here we are. The side chick suite has helped us get through it.
Side chick suite, man.
While Bobby Brown serenades us.
Give us all the best of it. So let's go into do we have anything before we go into the show?
No, that's it. We get into this. Oh, shout out, the Cleveland Browns just won a football game. First time since 2015.
And who'd they be?
The Jets. So it kind of doesn't count.
Wow.
But that
New York thought they was back.
That happened. Yeah, man, let's get into it. Let's just hit the show real quick, man. So
this is basically Bobby Brown and the Pips. and I love BBD, and for me to say that.
It ain't wrong.
The way and actually it's a humbling thing for BBD to take that step back, because they understood that Bobby's movie was coming out and he was going to be, everybody wanted to see him because of that movie, because they had interviews where they talked about they felt like they dropped the ball by not going on tour after the New Edition movie. So basically it was a situation kind of how the same lunatics were with Nelly, where they was like, yo, you just one that's popping, we just gonna push you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's they could have did a BBD tour, but would it have sold out?
Nah.
But a Bobby BBD tour would sell out.
You had numbers in there.
Because he had the movie, too, and it got people fresh in their mind like, oh, damn, I just saw the Bobby movie last week.
So here's what was dope about the thing, though, is that, you know, and of course, you know us with everything that we've done based around New Edition. There was no way.
We was going to miss it.
There was no way we couldn't be there. I mean, it was like obligation, you know.
Y'all would look at us strange.
I couldn't have looked at myself and been like, it's all good. I just didn't. They were here, but I just didn't do it. Like, no, what's that all about? But they came out doing My Prerogative. Actually, first of all, they had a dope photo collage on stage.
Yeah.
Like before they did. Check Daryl's Instagram page. He got a good video of that. But they did a dope thing with, like, you know, putting it all together. Then they did My Prerogative, but Ronnie started it,
which was dope.
And I was like, damn. Look at that. Then Bobby took it over. You know what I'm saying? And Bobby sounded good, though.
Bobby sounded just the best I've heard Bobby in over 10 years.
Yeah. Like, Bobby was doing it out there. Like, Bobby sound clean. Bobby slimmed down. Mm-hmm. Like, Bobby was, you know, Bobby still ain't doing that choreography like he did back in the day.
Oh, Bobby took a lot of situations during a lot of them dances.
Yes. Bobby's stamina is at a point right now where it's about a 10 out of 100. But he can still sing. And he went out there and, you know, like, he sang Roni from the heart.
Yeah.
Killed it.
killed it. And then they flipped even some BBD songs where Bobby was
doing the rap parts.
Doing the rap or singing some of the parts.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, they killed it, man.
Like they was making fun of each other through the show. Like, Bobby was talking about how he was watching them do Poison back when it first came out and said, what these cats always pointing at? Said, they pointing at everybody.
Like, what the fuck they pointing at?
Right. And then,
said they was some pointing motherfuckers. That's what he said. They was some pointing motherfuckers.
Ain't they? And then, what was the song that was supposed to be on the New Edition album that Bell Biv DeVoe was giving him trouble about?
It was Tenderoni, I believe.
Huh?
Tenderoni, wasn't it?
No. It wasn't Roni. It was
Little Step.
Every Little Step. Yeah, it was Every
Which
Little Step.
Which goes back to our conspiracy theory with the Ralph Bobby theme.
Ralph Tresvant sang the first verse of that song. No shit, it was supposed to be a New Edition song. Because Ralph Tresvant sings the first verse of New Edition songs. Shout out to Ricky Bell. It was Ricky Bell's birthday. And he did like a dope like cocktail of, you know, like a medley, I should say.
Of the BBD slow jams.
Yeah, mixed in with New Edition songs too. You know, like, and then they did... You was like, they did Hit Me Off.
Hit Me Off. They ain't performed Hit Me Off in, 20 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. As alive.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was a dope show. It was good to see for the culture. It was a great show for the culture.
Oh, man. Oh, another thing is that when I was seeing, I love shows like that because you get to see couples that have been together a long time and you see, like, one of them fall off and one of them is, like, keeping themselves together. Like, you'll see a woman, you're like, man, she looking good, man. And then you see her dude and be like, oh, they've been together 20 years, huh? Like, that's the only reason that she'd be with him at this show. And then the same thing opposite, you're like, dude looking fly, though. He's doing his thing. Then you see his woman, you're like, they've been together 25 years. Okay.
And that's like the goal, man, to stay evenly yoked out here.
Yeah.
Stay evenly yoked, y'all.
And you see both of them looking at each other. It's almost like the remember Part-Time Lover by Stevie Wonder where they both looking at each other like, we should have brought each other to this show. Them same two people I'm talking about would have been in the side chick suite together.
The side chick suite got necessitated by what happens on the floor.
My boy said it was filled. There's only three couples max.
They don't sell six tickets together.
Yeah, we can't do it, man, because they don't believe it. You know, he believes that I do my dirt all by my lonely, but but he asked two other people from time to time. But it was a dope ass show, man. It was a dope show. A lot of people there, man. Like, black people show up for some shows, though, boy.
Oh, black people show up for if there's one thing the black community did, we didn't gave ourselves a little trouble tonight, gave ourselves a little hell. And at the end of the day, God bless the opportunity to be able to keep our acts together, have them still doing stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean,
but also God bless the Hennessy stand. Who got our people in the spirit to turn up and have a good ass time
with the Hennessy punch?
Yeah,
dude, Hennessy punch, man.
Hennessy punch at a concert, $14, probably worth every single dollar of it. I just couldn't see myself drinking a Hennessy Hurricane on a Sunday night.
Yeah, just Hennessy punch just didn't feel like the move for me. Like,
no,
like,
that wasn't where it was at for me.
No, man. So. I think I might do the Key Sweat Blackstreet joint in November.
I think I'm gonna go too.
Do we do part two?
Maybe. I don't know if I go to a Keith Sweat concert with you though, because you're gonna be fucking preaching at me the whole fucking show. I'll see you there. I better not see you in the suite though. Cause I won't be there. Hey, but for everybody out there who might need it, just remember, you got to believe in it, and it'll appear for you.
And you got to plan for it, too. Look, make sure the suite is set up right. Tell them to dim the lights. Because they had it set up right. They look like shadows in there. Like, they were like the Foot Clan or something in there.
It was the Illuminati.
Yeah. You couldn't make out who they were. I was like, man, they doing it. Look at these side chicks and side dudes up in there. The side chick suite. Well, thank y'all for listening, as always.
I needed to let that
marinate for a minute.
Let that a fade away effect on that.
Yeah.
Like the side chick suite when it doesn't need to appear anymore.
Side chick suite.
Side chick suite. Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Thank y'all for listening, as always. Email us, straightolc@gmail.com, straightolc on Twitter, Shroud Low Cast fan page as well. Matt, where can they hit you up at?
Hey, find me on Instagram, Cheap Seat Fan. Twitter, the same tag. Let's get it.
You can hit me up on Twitter, Dig Game. On Instagram, Dig Game ISU as well. Thank y'all for listening as always. And let us know what is your funny or great concert or, you know, experience that you had. Thank y'all for listening as always. We'll see y'all soon. Peace.